Good afternoon. It's good to see you all. And look around here and see a lot of potential. A lot of women of grace. I plan to talk about femininity this afternoon. What does it mean to be a feminine, godly woman? And I believe that to be feminine, it takes grace, and it takes extending grace. So what does it mean to you to be a woman, to be feminine? When I first started studying, I was like, I can't just go to a passage and here we are. This is what it means. But as I dug, I found God is clear, and I'm inspired to think about this today. I want each one of you, I suppose you have your notebooks, I want each one of you to think about a woman who you admire, someone that maybe you would like to be like them when you're their age. I'd like you to think of someone that you know pretty well, someone in your community or a relative or someone that you know their daily life. Someone maybe that you think is a godly woman. And so when you write her name down, underneath write why you feel that way. What is it about her that you admire? What character quality does she have? I know sometimes it's hard to put a finger on it, but think about that a little bit anyway. Now I want you to write down a definition or maybe just some characteristics of what you think it means to be a lady or to be feminine. If some of you want to share, maybe some of you are still thinking, still writing down some. What are some of the things that you're writing down? So I think that, maybe I'll ask it as a question. Has Western culture defined what it means to be a lady, or what we think of as a lady? When I think of, if I look around me in the, not in the church, but just around, it seems like it's held up to be pretty, slim, witty, confident, capable, successful, strong, decisive, independent, maybe even bold is looked up to sometimes. Intelligent. Is that what it means to be a godly feminine woman? I had a cousin when I was your age. Could have I told you exactly what it was I admired about her? I don't know. She was older than me. She was like a big sister to me. We lived in the same community. And she didn't directly teach me, but she is today even my hero, somebody that I want to look up to. And when I think of her, I think of gentleness, compassion, unselfishness, serenity, confidence, but not independence, not self-absorption, graciousness. I don't know if those are some of the things you came up with. I think that Western culture has somewhat affected what we think of as being feminine or being a woman. Maybe sometimes we almost feel, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but femininity isn't valued anymore. And I think sometimes it can affect us. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more later. And I think sometimes maybe fear keeps us from just surrendering to God and being what He wants us to be. Maybe fear that we won't meet the expectations of that are put on us as women. Maybe fear what God might call us to if we just surrender to His way. I got a lot of my thoughts, not everything, but from Janie Ortlund, Fearlessly Feminine. She writes to married women and older singles, but it's a book that I recommend. I think you young girls could would enjoy this too, Fearlessly Feminine. And she says, we fear most the sacrifice that being a woman of godly character demands. And I think some of it is just that, the being willing to just sacrifice. Our flesh wants to live it up and enjoy life, and that's what God intends, but it looks sort of scary to submit ourselves. After I'd been asked to give this talk, I was just looking through some papers, cleaning out a drawer or something, and I found this paper that I had written down goals for my daughters, and I don't remember what prompted it, but I wrote goals for my daughters, and then I had specifics at home, at school, what I wanted them to be, and what I wanted to help them to be. But this is what I wrote at the top, that they would carry themselves with graciousness to those around them, that their close relationship with God would glow on their faces, and that all would feel accepted and respected by them. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's femininity. That's what I wanted them to be, was a godly, feminine woman. Our world is so confused. It's clear that in the beginning, God created male and female, but women stepped out of their place, men didn't take their place, and the result today is confusion. The distinctions between men and women are muddled. What does it even mean to be a woman? Femininity has lost its virtue. It's not as honorable or expected for girls to learn homemaking skills or to stay at home. I know circumstances sometimes. I'm not against girls working out of the home. Sometimes the mom doesn't have enough for them to do, and that's just fine. But I think we don't want to put pressure on each other that we need to have a lifestyle, that we need to be out there and make money. I think there's something I faced it even as a school teacher, and then getting married at age 23. It just didn't feel as fulfilling to stay home. You couldn't measure your success. You wash the dishes, and well, you wash them again the next day. And I think that we can sometimes be discontent then when we want to stay in our place as a married woman. And some of it is just a mindset. Like I said, I believe it's fine for girls to work out, but let's not put pressure on each other. In this world that we live of confusion, and I believe it's so important that you young ladies are firm in the truth, and that you enjoy being a woman. Sister Ann just told me, I love being a woman. And she's so glad she's a woman. And I just think that's a neat testimony. She's obviously content in her place and what God called her to be. So my passion for this talk is that you can enjoy being a godly woman today. This isn't something I'm holding up to you that you'll be when you're my age. yes, sure, there's journey, there's growth. We change, we learn. But you can be a godly feminine woman today that God is pleased with. And it's only by God's grace. As we experience God's grace, we extend it to those around us. Just to explain the difference, so femininity is what we're talking about today. What about feminism? So actually, they're sort of opposite. Feminism is a political movement that advocates gender equality, an ideology or belief system that actively seeks to promote equal rights for women. I think it's a reaction to the lie that women aren't worth as much. Maybe there was controlling men that made them feel that way. But I think also it can just come from our own pride and wanting to control our lives. The women who actually started the women's lib movement and I think women took it further than they really meant it to be taken. And so then femininity, what's that? I looked in the dictionary, or I think I asked Google. It describes a set of traits, behaviors, and appearances traditionally associated with being a woman. It fulfills the purpose God created her for, which is a support role, not out there boldly. So first of all, I want to back up a little bit. Before we can embrace our womanhood, we need to find our security in God, our Father, in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. There we are safe. Our needs and desires are met. Part of being a woman is being dependent and vulnerable. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But we can find that safety and that security in God. There's no safer place. It doesn't always feel safe. I know what that feels like, but it is. It's not always easy to trust, but by faith, we come to that place. We find our identity. We're not our own. We're God's. Once we found that security and identity, then we can fill our place as a girl, a feminine, godly woman, at home, at church, in our communities. But that's where we need to start from. If you're struggling with that, if you're struggling with feeling like God is a safe place to trust, struggling with maybe some pain, don't give up. It's a journey, and it's not an easy journey, but keep on until you find rest. Sometimes men wrong us. Sometimes our authorities wrong us and let us down. But we still need to we still need to fill our place. And that's why if we find our identity and our security in God, then when our authorities fail us, we have that foundation. God created us in His image. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image, in the image and likeness." One translation says, "And likeness of God created he him. male and female created he them. So we as ladies were created in the image of God. Someone suggested that a woman is God's grace and beauty revealed. I believe that God gave men different qualities and different, and he requires different things of them than he does of the ladies. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. This sort of overlaps here with each other. Okay, so I think it's important that we do keep up those distinctions. Male is male, female is female. Our place as under man in the authority structure does not make us worth less. A child is not worth less than his parents just because he's under them in the authority structure. We're of just as much value, but it's just our place. We're not a puppet or a doormat, but we're under them. So I divided my talk into three areas: femininity defined, feminine at heart, and femininity in action. I had a hard time putting skin on what does it actually mean to be feminine. You can hear all this, these fluffy things that seem a little bit unattainable. So when I was a girl, and I think still sometimes, I have man-sized hands. My voice is low. I can't even scream like ladies are supposed to scream. It comes out like a sort of a roar or a yell. I was always, things just broke in my hands, just drying dishes after supper or whatever. So can I be feminine? Isn't feminine ladylike and small hands and tiny little sweet lady, or what? Can I be feminine? Maybe you live on a farm and you need to help your dad, and you need to throw hay bales and drive a big tractor. Can you be feminine? The root word of feminine means the one nursing or breastfeeding. One definition of feminine is having the qualities stereotypically associated with women: nurturing, not aggressive, caring, ladylike. See, there's that word. John Piper describes femininity as a disposition or an attitude, an inclination. In Numbers 14:24, I came across this verse: "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully," and then it says, "I'll give him the land," and whatever. But that just caught my attention. Hath another spirit with him. It was so inspiring. Today, in this age of bold, self-centered women, let's have another spirit about us, a spirit of grace and peace. Another characteristic of femininity is we are created to be helpmeets, to be followers, to have a support role, whatever it is. That's why God created Eve, was to help Adam. And we can be that in our communities, in our church, in the workplace. Often when we think of femininity, we think about beauty. And I'll talk about that more later too. The Bible says beauty is vain. That's something that a feminine, godly woman is not consumed about. But I think we can all be beautiful because it's the beauty of Christ in us. Femininity doesn't mean we are softy or helpless. We are weaker physically often. The Proverbs 31 woman girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. This strength is not brash or forward or controlling, but is a quiet courage and a strength of soul. One of my daughters gave me a cutting board. Maybe I've seen them around some. It says, "Blessed is she who daily imparts nurturing care and kindness of heart. Blessed is she whose goodness and grace wrap others' hearts in a warm embrace. Blessed is she whose unselfish love is a shining reflection of God above." And I think that's something for us to attain to. Maybe it seems a little idealistic, but I think it's something maybe that we all want to be and that we can all be coming. I do not want to portray to you this sweet, perfect woman that looks unattainable and you just give up. Why try? How many of you, when I told you to write down a woman's name that you admire, was that this name was quite a bit, this lady was quite a bit older than you? Most of you? She has more years of life's experiences, and so you don't have to let it discourage you, but to encourage you. Today, you can be a godly feminine woman, and it doesn't need to be stuffy or boring or prim and proper. Please be mannerly and respectful, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It's about grace. We live in the grace of God, and by the grace of God, then we in turn are gracious. We extend grace to those around us. I believe if you live as girls receiving grace and extending grace, that you will be feminine. Feminine at heart. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. Charm and grace are deceptive and beauty is vain because it is not lasting. But a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So what is a feminine godly woman from the inside out? I have some teacups here. They are beautiful and feminine. But whether they truly are beautiful to me or bless me depends on what's inside the cup. So I can have one cup that's full of sweet tea. And we can have the same looking cup, but it may be full of bitter tasting bleach, whatever, something that's actually harmful. Amy Carmichael said, "A cup brimful of sweetness cannot spill even one drop of bitter water, no matter how suddenly jarred." And so we want to start from the inside out and in our hearts. So the first thing that I believe a woman who is feminine at heart, her heart is at rest. She's content with life and where she is. She accepts her circumstances, and sometimes that takes surrender. We're not always in easy circumstances. But she's able to work through her pain and difficult relationships. She's submitted to Christ and his plan. If you want to turn with me, you can. I'm going to read Isaiah 30:15. It's a verse I went back to often when I was a girl. I tended to be very dramatic and get all in a tizzy over something. And I needed to read this verse. Chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. One of the translations I read said, in returning to me, capitalized as in God, in returning to me and resting in me, ye shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I'm quoting, your restlessness can only be calmed and satisfied as you bow before God and let him call the shots. We need to allow God to be God. Be still and know that I'm God. A feminine woman is confident in who she is and whose she is. And she daily makes choices to do what is right. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. I don't believe I have time to go into a story of the time that God showed that to me. I just needed to choose his way, and that gave me strength for the next step. Every choice to do right give strength for the next time. A feminine woman takes up her cross. A cross is something that we choose because we're Christian. It's something that we could avoid if we wanted to, but we choose it because we believe it's right. Sometimes a feminine woman's cross may be just staying in her place. Maybe it seems like something is falling apart and she could just go in there and help fix it. But sometimes we need to just stay in our place. Janie Ortland said, the cross is God's place of peace for us. It's a place of quiet and rest and reconciliation. And I add surrender. Another character quality that I believe begins in the heart is in Proverbs, or it's our verse here on the wall. She wears strength and honor. Strength of spirit. And another word for honor in this case could be respect. Strength of spirit and honor are her clothing. Beauty is vain, but she is beautiful because she's displaying God's grace in her life. Also, she has a sweet spirit. I'm a little bit careful about that one because some of us are not naturally what we call sweet. For example, my voice. or I'm just not naturally one of those, you know what I'm talking about? You didn't have to tell me that I'm not being feminine. I mean, do you understand what I mean? but I believe we can have a sweet spirit because in our hearts we have compassion, kindness in our hearts. Verse 26 of Proverbs 31 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her mouth is the law of kindness, something like that. So I believe it begins with a compassion from the inside out. And when our heart is at rest, then we can extend that to other people. Maybe we feel like I did sometimes. This isn't me. Like, how can I be that way? I think we need to accept ourselves the way we are. Being feminine may look a little different for some people than other people. So we have this this area or whatever that is feminine, we'll say. A godly feminine woman. And we have people who are naturally shy, and it's painful for them to talk to somebody they don't know. And on the other hand, we have the type that's friendly and you know they're there. You know, there are edges we need to bring in, and we need to keep striving. But I think there is a side. While we don't make excuses, we do need to accept who we are. And then believe that we can be what God wants us to be. My next section is femininity in action. I'm going to put up some of the qualities up here on the board just I sort of summed it up into three areas, and then I added some things from Titus 2 because I didn't because I felt like it was in action, not just in heart. So I added that at the end. But first of all, women are nurturers. Is this right? There. Okay. We nurture. I think one way that we can nurture is to empower others. Encourage others and bless them with words, whether it is our peers, whether it's our authorities, our pastors, our family. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Gossip is something that girls tend to struggle with. Gossip tears down. Let's encourage and bless. Remember, we're that support role. And I think it includes to our authority. Just a respect goes a long way in supporting our authorities. When I was about 16, I worked at Mountain View Nursing Home. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. It was in my community, and so I just went in. They needed extra help. I went in and helped feed the elderly and help with different things, and later I worked in the kitchen. And there was a nurse, she was the director of nursing. Her name is Hilda. And she has impacted my life probably more than any one single lady, except maybe my mom. But I was an insecure 16-year-old. These were all volunteers that had come from wherever to give a year of their time. And most of the staff was, or else they were administration. And so I was the 16-year-old, insecure, came in there, and Hilda noticed me. She gave me a name. We gave each other names, and we talked just in the last year or two. And one of us was Begonia, and one of us was Geranium. And we don't even know which is which. But she called me Begonia, and she noticed if I was there or not. She would just acknowledge me, ask me how my day was going. And in later years, when I tried to think about and tell someone else what Hilda did for me, I thought, you know what? I don't know if we ever sat down and had a heart-to-heart talk. Yeah, I sat at the nurse's station sometimes and we would chat, or, you know, we maybe give each other encouraging notes. But I think probably the biggest thing she did for me was give me worth. It mattered to her, or she cared about me. If I was there, she noticed. And I would just like to encourage you all. What dew is to the flower, gentle words are to the soul. And you can make a big difference. One of my points under this is to value children and the underprivileged, or those younger than you. Let me see. You don't know what a difference you can make in the life of a child or a young person or a struggling person. They're not a bother. We can't be so busy and focused on our own goals that we don't notice those people. Maybe even it will be this week, you'll notice someone who sort of stays on the fringes, maybe doesn't know anybody else. Value them and show them that you value them. Bless them. Hospitality, I know you don't have your own homes. I think you can help your mom. I know some stages of mothers, they want to be hospitable, but they can just barely do it on their own. You can help your mom to be able to be hospitable. But I think also just being welcoming to everyone. To more than just your little circle of friends, including everyone. Use your talents to nurture. That's where you can be your individual self. Use your talents to bless others, to build up the church. John Ogilvie said, a secret of life is that all we have and are is a gift to be shared. Another quality of femininity in action is creativity and beauty. When I picked out the character qualities of, or these three areas, I picked out things that are unique to women, that are maybe just a different role than men have. I think we have a knack for creating beauty, or a love for beauty, maybe that men don't have. Of course, there's men artists. There's women who understand business. But I think this is one thing that God gave to women, a love for beauty and creative ways of making that beauty. Find ways to create beauty in your home, in little ways. It was interesting to me when Sister Ann and I were trying to decide where we're going to have this girls' talk. We searched the building to find a good place where we could sit the girls in a circle. And some places just didn't seem very nice and warm. We found this spot. And as we came in here, Sister Ann grabs a plant. I walked over to the closet over here and got out some candles. And it just came natural. We didn't talk about it. We both just started trying to make this place look a little more warm and homey. And I think it just comes naturally. We enjoy it. And I think we as women, yeah, I was going to say, I think we enjoy, yeah, I'm sorry. I know that it is the thing today to be minimalistic, and there is something good about that. Femininity is simple, but let's go ahead and make our homes warm and beautiful so that when others come and or our space, wherever it is, when others come, they feel welcome. I think our own appearance also comes in here. We want to be beautiful, and I think we need to care about how we look. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe we do need to care about that. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Says, I desire that women should adorn themselves modestly and appropriately and sensibly in seemly apparel, not with elaborate hair arrangements or gold or pearls or expensive clothing, but by doing good deeds, deeds in themselves good, to the good and advantage of those contacted by them, as befits women who profess reverential fear for and devotion to God. I think that as we look at what we wear and how we handle ourselves, our outward appearance, we need to put it under this. We need to be honest that our decisions that we make are coming out of something. We need to think about why. Why do I dress this way? Or why do I do this? Does it fit with a woman who professes to fear the Lord? Oh, so I guess under here I had find ways to create beauty and our own appearance. And then the third area is vulnerability. God created Eve to be a helpmeet to Adam and to be under his authority. As women, we are vulnerable and we're dependent. We need to let the men be men. Go ahead and let the boys get the volleyball that goes down the hill. Or let them open the door. I think we need to learn to be dependent on the older women. Let them teach us. Value their line. So if you lived for 20 years, your line is this long. But a woman that lived for 60 years, her line is this long. She has lots of life experiences and wisdom. Another part of being vulnerable is introspection. And by that I mean being real with our heart, going ahead and being open, in touch with our feelings. Sometimes it may be painful for a time, but in the end there's rest. Another part of being vulnerable, I believe, is being open in relationships. It's scary to open up, but it's God's plan. Usually as we open up, we realize that other people are facing the same things that we do often. In Ecclesiastes 4, I guess I won't take time to turn to that. It's the one about when somebody falls in, one falls in the ditch, the other one pulls him up. Women are good at relationships. We nurture. That's another way that we nurture. We nurture each other. And the last one that I have under this is subjection. We submit because of subjection. We submit to our authority because of their position, not because they're doing everything right. And it also includes submission to God, surrender to God's plan for my life. I just want to spend a couple minutes yet on looking at Titus 2 and the word chaste. So in Titus 2, the older women were supposed to teach the younger women. I'm going to read it from the Amplified again. Teach the young women to be sober. And then verse 5 says, to be self-controlled, chaste, homemakers, good-natured, or kind-hearted, adapting and subordinating themselves to their husbands, that the word of God may not be exposed to reproach. Another place it says, so the word of God would not be dishonored. How we conduct ourselves as women either honors or dishonors God's word. So chaste means pure, modest, and I don't believe this only means modest in our clothing. I think it means modest in our spirit. It produces modesty in our appearance. But modesty and spirit, humility would maybe come in there too. Discreet. Some other synonyms of chaste are plain, simple, unadorned, unpretentious. In this world of confusion and strife, I dare you, is that okay? I hope I inspire you to demonstrate God's grace and beauty, whatever your personality, whatever your calling. God is expecting us to stay in our place and blossom there. We strive to be godly feminine woman for God's glory, not for our own, not to accomplish something for ourselves. And God is the one who is able to help you live in loveliness and serenity. Because The Lord of peace is with you. So go ahead and embrace your femininity. It's a privilege to be what God created us to be. I'm going to read a song. I wish you could hear it sung, because I believe the music just adds to the desire of the heart in this song. Oh, for a heart like thine, Savior and Lord divine, to live this life of mine unselfishly. Give daily living grace, my every task to face, taking my rightful place only in thee. Oh, for a love like thine, Savior and Lord divine, to make this heart of mine more tender be. May every daily deed be kind to those in need. May I be sure to heed thee constantly. Oh, for a peace like thine, Savior and Lord divine, to find this heart of mine resting in thee. Be this my fervent prayer, thy holy calm to share. Quietly bring each care daily to thee. God bless each one of you as you go out and go to your homes and be just what God wants you to be.